The second lesson of our scripture today is from the book of Hebrews, and we shared the first portion of Hebrews chapter 11 last week. We'll continue this journey of this profound theological reflection on our faith from the writer here of Hebrews on page 226, if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible. Beginning now with verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Yes, all of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. I recently did a little investigation of what some of the life-giving foods are that last the longest on the shelf. And you know, I was quite surprised that one of the longest shelf lives of any food made is the Twinkie. How about that? The Twinkie. I saw where a study was performed by one man who said he bought a box of Twinkies. This researcher waited 30 years and ate the Twinkie, and it still tasted like a Twinkie. He said it was a little stale, but I've never eaten a Twinkie that wasn't stale to start with. It's hard to believe that the spongy old Twinkie lasts longer or as long as some of the most wonderful foods around. But they all perish at some point. Even fruitcakes. I don't think there's but 1,000 fruitcakes in the whole world. Nobody eats them. We just pass them around one to another. They've continued to last. But ultimately and eventually, they will all perish, right? Well, our scripture, friends, today gives us indeed the words of life. In verse 31 that we heard here, the writer tells us that Christ has made us imperishable. He gave this long list. Didn't you like that? This cloud of witnesses, as the writer describes them, who accomplished great feats by putting their trust in God. But he said, ultimately, their trust and our trust and hope eternal is trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. He is the one. By simply putting our faith in Him that appoints us, dear church, as children of God forever. Wow. Now that's a sermon in itself, as the writer tells us today. And this great gift of God for us to achieve this gift, there's nothing we do. It's simply putting our trust in what God has done. There is no work in our salvation beyond the work of Calvary that's been paid for us all. Friends, that is the power of faith. That's the grace of our God. That's the saving power of the Lord on high who gifted us, yes, with His love forever. Thank you, Hebrews writer. Some believe it's Paul. Others go back and forth of who the originator of this text is, but it's certainly one who had a deep grasp of God's love for us as His people. And as we consider the depth of this word, faith, as Monya and I reflected this morning driving over, she reminded me that, you know, faith is one of those core tenets of our very religion. Our Lord said, through the gifts and inspiration He gave to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, He said, now remains faith, hope, and love. One of the lasting essential ingredients and aspects of our faith is faith itself. Trusting in God. So in our text today, as we consider the eternal gift of faith, I'm also pleased to share with you as your pastor today, there's also a practical, a here and now, a day-to-day gift when we place our faith more fervently in our Lord in our daily journey. In verse 29 of our text, the writer says this, as he's giving these examples of the benefits of faith, he says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. You know, I hear a couple of things happening there. I hear miracles of God's grace. But the message that really spoke to me as reflecting upon this text and this verse this week was, we don't always get what we want in our faith relationship as easily as we want it, do we? The scripture that sounds throughout my ears and in my mind and heart is that it says they passed through. You see, friends, even though we are children of God, sometimes in our journey of life, we're going to have to be called on to pass through things we don't want to go through. And it's in passing through that oftentimes we're equipped and strengthened for our journey in a way that we'd not been had we not passed through the challenges, the walls of water, the adversity that the people Israel faced as they went through the waters of the Red Sea to a better life in their Lord. I know many of us have heard the story of the butterfly and the experiment where the man saw the caterpillar. It had eaten the leaves. It had woven itself into the cocoon. And then the day came when the metamorphosis was complete. And the insect perched a small hole in the cocoon, and he began that fateful journey outside of the cocoon. The man observed the great struggle, and he saw how it just didn't seem that the insect was going to be able to make it through the small passage in the cocoon. The struggle had gone on for some time. So the man did what he thought was a great gift of mercy. He pierced the cocoon just a bit, just to release a little bit of the pressure, just to make the hole a little larger, and it worked. The butterfly sprang forth in just a moment from the cocoon. But it didn't look like a butterfly. The body was still very swollen. The wings were quite small. And the insect never fully transitioned into a butterfly who could enjoy flight. You see, sometimes passing through the struggles of life, the tensions, the wrappings like the butterfly, those are the very events that our God can use to transform us into our most grace-filled existence. We don't enjoy the journey at times, as the people Israel must have felt at peril in those 40 years as they journeyed even beyond the waters. But friends, it is the journey. If we put our faith in God, that is a gift for us even now, dear church. May we trust in the Lord to strengthen us, to not get through every struggle, but sometimes to strengthen us to pass through the struggle. Our scripture also says, the next verse there, that not only does God equip us in faith to pass through, but God also conquers the walls that are before us. Isn't that what he says here in verse 30? He says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell, and it says they fell instantly, right? I don't think so. It said it took about 7 days walking around those walls. Sometimes, friends, even though we are children of God in our journey of life, things don't happen as quickly as we'd like for them to. Sometimes we want our restoration, whether it be physical, spiritual, relational. We want that turnaround to be today. I'm with you. I feel your pain. I'm not a very patient person, and certainly not so when things aren't going my way. But in our scripture, may we find hope in these words that say to us, even as the people Israel sought deliverance in the promised land, it didn't happen as timely as they would like. There was 7 days around the city before the walls fell. You know, I'm a big fan of dried beans. And you know, they have a pretty good shelf life too. They may last longer than a Twinkie. I'm not sure about that. But you know, you can go to the local store, right? Randall Beavers will sell you a can of dried beans, a can of pinto beans for that matter, that you can pop in the microwave and you can be ready to eat, depending on how long you want them, maybe a minute, 2 minutes, and you'd have a meal. But there's something about soaking those dried beans, Elvin, and slow cooking them, putting a little ham in there. I hope I'm getting y'all's appetite juices flowing. That makes it worth the journey and the time invested. Well, that's true in our appetites, right? But friends, isn't that also true in our spiritual nourishment? If we go through the journey of life by putting our faith in Christ, we will have strength for the length of the journey, and we will enjoy the journey as well as the destination. Friends, that's a gift of our faith. Faith is what God uses to gift us with life eternal. Faith is what God uses to strengthen us in the struggles of life. And our faith in Christ helps us, Pat, endure the length of our journey until we're restored with God in glory forever. So grow our faith. Live in our faith in our Lord, and know the joy of life in Him. So how do we do it? How do we grow in our faith? You know, I think our Scripture even gives us not only an antidote of how important faith is, but how to grow in faith. Our text tells us in verse 31, very near the end of our reading, the writer says this: look to Jesus. Not only do we look to our Lord in faith, but we look to our Lord, friends, to grow in our faith. For He is, in the words of the writer today, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Have you considered those two words? For Jesus to be the pioneer and the perfecter. You know, I was reminiscing and studying recently on the life of Katherine Johnson. Some of you have heard that name. She was one of the first females and one of the first African Americans to go to work for NASA. She's responsible for some of the mathematician calculations that put us on the moon. She was a pioneer in her field. She was a trailblazer for those who went before her. John Glenn had such confidence in Katherine Johnson that as they were having these new computers, you see, that was a pioneer state too. They had these computers and sometimes they would blank out or not give a complete calculation. They were still in their infancy. And Glenn said, I see the numbers that the computer gave us. If the girl, his words, not mine, if the girl comes up with the same numbers, then I'll be glad to orbit the earth. See, there's a lesson in that little story about being a pioneer. You see, as she was a pioneer in her industry and embraced the courage to go forth, those computers were also pioneers. They were new. And oftentimes, friends, when we're just getting started at something, we don't have it perfected right. The pioneer's work is often built upon by those who come after them. So consider with me the depth of the message about our Lord today. Jesus Christ not only pioneered our faith, but dear church, He perfected how we grow in the love of God. So may we turn to Him daily. In the words of Romans 10, may we grow in faith by trusting the Word of God, by reading His Scripture daily to build our muscles of endurance in faith and pray fervently, walking in the ways of Christ, who was fervent in prayer, endless in love, and the perfecter of our faith. To Him be glory, now and forever. Amen.